Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Foundry. Riven here. We're going to have a good episode tonight. We're talking about RPGs again, going through a deeper look at the RPG and at what makes it an RPG. That's like my favorite type of game, and I just want to get more opinions on it and what people think about it. With me tonight, I've known him for years. I used to work with him. Mike at Root. How's that? Mike at Root.
Hello.
So, game developer, programmer, and all-around awesome dude.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't know. But how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. Like I was telling you before, it's coincidental because my only plans tonight really was to play Fallout 1, and here I am.
Oh my god.
Doing this while, Fallout screwing 1, around.
You know what? I don't think I ever beat Fallout 1, but it was a fun game from when we were playing back in, like, when I was a kid. It was definitely fun. I played Fallout 1, Fallout 2. I beat Fallout 3. I think I beat Fallout 3. I didn't beat Fallout 4 yet. Not yet.
Same here, man. I got to the end and I just stopped. I got to reinstall it.
Yeah, me too. But, I have too many games I need to play right now. So many games.
The 21st century problem.
Oh, my God. Yeah, really. But, so, RPGs, man. Like, that's my jive. Like, I don't know about you. Thinking about it, when I look back in the day of gaming, and I'm looking at gaming, I played on a PC. I played first person shooters growing up. First fucking Wolfenstein 3D, Doom, Blakestone.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just all of these crazy first person shooters. I didn't know a Rocketeer. Did you ever play a Rocketeer?
Which one?
I don't know. I played the one where you had, it was a third person version. And you had to, fly his yellow plane. Then you got a sponsor. They were like, why don't you try this new rocket? And you became the Rocketeer, pretty much.
I didn't play that, no.
It was such a cool game. But I played all shooters growing up. All shooters, some type of racers, RPG didn't really hit. I mean, maybe I played some RPGs on Nintendo, maybe like Zelda, if you want to consider it RPG. And then I didn't really get into RPG into Chrono Trigger on the PC.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which was emulated, because I didn't own, Super Nintendo.
And that game stands the test of time. Every time I played, I'm like, wow, it's still as good as I ever remembered.
Oh my god, it was it's my all-time. It's for me, for gaming and RPGs, because I think I was starting to get into RPGs. I was playing Diablo and Diablo 2, and those are RPG-ish. They are very RPG. But for that game, it just completely just changed RPGs and the way I look at them for me, like the graphics, the music, the way that it was played, how the story was told, and how dynamic the characters were. I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck? Diablo 2 is not like this. Diablo 2 is, this is my character. He does shit. He blows shit up. I choose and pick a build, and I grind shit out. Which was
thank
cool.
you, my friend. That's all you hear in yeah. Diablo 2.
Sick.
Deckard Cain. No, I totally. It's funny, man. It's like that. That's a game where it's like if I hear someone say that's their favorite game, I instantly respect it. Not that I disrespect anyone's picks, but it's like I know they mean business because that's a good fucking game.
That's a great game, yeah, definitely. It was a fun game too, and you spent hours just grinding and just grinding and grinding. But I covered Chrono Trigger like a little bit on my last podcast, and it was definitely it's my all time favorite RPG. Like I went from playing Diablo to EverQuest to just hours on top of hours. I mean, I missed like a day or two of school because of that game. because it was just like, I need to get to every nook and cranny and understand this game from start to finish. I was so good. 13 different endings you could have had in that game. I had every single one.
For what?
Just nuts. I don't know how many. I played like 13 different new game pluses. It was just so great.
Was that 96? It might have been 95.
It was like 95, 96, yeah. But I didn't play it until high school. And I had a Super Nintendo emulator. It was such a good game. Because I think I was in high school like 98, 99.
Back then, like 20-something or whatever endings is like, wow, that's unheard of.
Yeah. And the Chrono Trigger really did it for me. But I guess diving deeper into the RPG, what makes an RPG? Like, there's so many different, I think, layers to this. And people say, well, I talk to people at work. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's an RPG. I don't play games like that. It's too nerdy. What do you mean it's too nerdy? I don't understand that. Oh no, it's just so nerdy. You know, I think automatically they think like Dungeons and Dragons. Like rolling the dice, writing pen and paper down, you know, creating character, doing math and weird stuff. You know, if you're, you know, back in the 80s and, you know, in mom's basement drinking freaking, you know, soda and eating pizza.
Listening to Rush.
Which back in the 80s as a kid, I didn't do that, but, you know, doing that was freaking, I would love to have experienced that, but I never played Dungeons and Dragons as a kid.
Well, I love D&D. I played it when I was like 18, and I have on and off, not for like within a decade, but yeah, I played a fair share of it. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah, I take it back. I played it like a little bit at work when I lived in North Carolina, but you know, I wasn't really anything serious. But I feel like people, when they hear the word RPG, maybe not as much anymore, but definitely I still that group of people, oh, RPG, that's too nerdy. Like, you're a nerd. That's a dumb genre. And I'm just trying to get, and I just want to get people's opinion. Like, what to you makes an RPG? Like, role-playing game. Like, what to you makes that?
Well, if you were to ask me, and I mean, we were kind of talking about this before, but I'll reiterate. It's weird, because when you say RPG, obviously stands for role-playing game, right?
Right.
And mostly when you think RPG, you're going to think, and we'll get into this too in a second, you think something like Final Fantasy, where it's just a strategy type game, right? Mm-hmm. It usually, like a really traditional one, you'll think it's like a turn-based strategy. Nowadays, you know, they've really shifted with examples of Mass Effect and stuff like that. But
right.
It's like, while role-playing games mean something like you get into the character, you're assuming a role and you're, you know, playing a role, it colloquially means, again, it's like a strategy game. So to me, it means both. Case in point, Fallout, a lot of people praise it for being an actual role-playing game, and I would agree from what I see. But it's weird. If you consider, like, you know, the gameplay perspective, you've got Final Fantasy 1, for example, when arguably that's when they got incredibly accessible and popular, because before it was like Ultima, which is kind of more complex to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, not a lot of people... Not everyone had a microcomputer or a Commodore 64. More people did. But NES is what brought back the games industry after the crash, blah, blah, blah. And that was the first real accessible game. All the way to games like Fallout 4, for example, which are so streamlined, they almost don't even feel like an RPG, but they are.
Yeah, they don't, right. They're all underneath, I think. So, yeah, I'll agree with you. Like, you're taking on the role of that character, and you're playing their life, seeing the story through their eyes, and trying to understand and, you know, going through the trials and tribulations of what they need to get to the end of the game, as them, putting, you know, having empathy for that character, as in putting yourself in their shoes and really learning them. That's what I think I love about RPG so much, is that it's just, I'm that person. I'm feeling what they're seeing. I like the emotional attachment to a character. And first person shooters, you don't get that, because just running and gunning, like. And any of the Call of Duty's, I never had that emotion attached to any of the characters. I'm like, oh, he died. That sucks. But like in Final Fantasy VII, you know, if you never played it, spoiler alert: when Aeris dies, I was like, what? Like,
I played it. Go on.
I was like, fucking tear. I was like, really, really, Sephiroth. I wanted Sephiroth dead. Like he had to die like now. Just the emotional attachment you can build to like the characters, I just love having like that build up and different learning about different characters. It's like, it's a really cool feeling. But yeah, I think I was going with a train of thought somewhere at that, and I lost a train of thought, so we'll come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I do know what you're saying though here. Like, you know, case in point, everyone, even people who didn't usually play RPGs until that point when 7 came out, was talking about fucking Aeris dying, which is like, yeah. Wow, that's, you know, about like one Final Fantasy go in 96, most of these people wouldn't have even looked at an RPG, but this apparently was so likable that everyone knew about 7 on the PlayStation.
Well, you remember, you look at the, I remember watching on TV, I was in the living room with my mom, and you know, we had family friends over, and my dad was sitting there, and this commercial came on, and I'm watching it, and I actually think I missed like the whole Sony like logo pop up, like the original room, whatever the hell, the stupid silver, the gold or orange symbol with Sony over it. So I missed that, and I'm watching it. I'm like, is this a movie? And I was going through it, and then it comes saying Final Fantasy VII. I was like, that's a video game? I was like, because I didn't own a PlayStation yet. So my one of our family friends goes, wow, that looks like a really great movie. I want to watch that. I'm like, that's not a movie. That's a game.
I know, right? That, back then, wow.
So, yeah. So I was like, I had to be like a month after that. I owned the PlayStation with Gran Turismo and Final Fantasy VII. And, oh, God, Final Fantasy just dragged. I don't know how many. I beat that game 3 times, 99 hours each. It was ridiculous. Wow.
Yeah, you know, it always amuses me because, like, as you notice, then, oh, God damn it, I just got killed by a fucking super mutant. Anyway, yeah, it was funny because, you know, you said it looked like a movie and everyone thought so. And I, you know, well, of course, it looked awesome at the time. And I remember they really wanted to put that on Nintendo still, but, you know, since it wasn't CDs, they couldn't fit movies.
Yeah,
and they had that. Yep, they had that, what, interactive movie test game. I don't know if it was like a Japanese E3 or something, and they all decided, nope, you got to go with PlayStation. I don't know.
Yeah, which is very crazy because Final Fantasy back in the day was all on Nintendo. Nintendo, 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 Nintendo. Like, all the hot RPGs were on the Super Nintendo. Super Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasies. Oh, my God. There were so many of them back in the day. Earthbound. There were just so many of them. And now you look at it, and it shifted. It shifted because Nintendo kept cartridges for, like, ever. Their first was, what, was it GameCube was their first foray into CDs, and then the Wii U.
Barely. Yeah. Yeah. With the mini disc.
The mini disc. I was just like, I don't know, but whatever.
Really? Good then, system, but yeah.
But, I mean, they took the cartridges. I mean, look at the cartridges now. I mean, I guess we really can't. I mean, this is off topic, but look at the cartridges now on the 3DS and the freaking Switch. It's like, oh, my God. They could fit so much onto it. And this little tiny little thing. I was like, damn, dude. Nintendo was like, no way. We're taking this. You're all going to believe in it.
Yeah, there's still I know the Switch was selling out nonstop. I think now you can find them, but their sales were up for a long time.
Yeah, they definitely were. Yeah, it's an awesome console. I have it. But, but yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that makes the RPGs that you're getting into the shoes of that character and you're living their life for however long the game might be. I think a good example of a action RPG, I always go back to this one because it was you started as a nobody and you became a somebody, was Infamous on the PlayStation.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my God, you seriously were just like a paperboy doing whatever the hell you're doing, a delivery boy doing whatever the hell you're doing. And then on one, you know, fateful day, you get bombed with a this weird electrical orb that goes off in the middle of the city that were planned to put you there. And now you're just going through the story of how do I have these powers? Why did this happen to me? I don't want these powers. And you just feel the anger and the resentment this person's going through.
That was cool.
And then I guess another thing that brings what makes RPG is, you know, a first-person shooter is you just have a gun. And you shoot things, and that's it. I, you know, coming back from like EverQuest and Diablo and Chrono Trigger, you get these abilities that you can level up, and it adds that RPG feel to it. Like if you're playing rolling a dice in Dungeons and Dragons, and you are now getting to pick like different abilities that can give you, you know, different attacks that can make you do more damage. That can make you, you know, in the back end roll a dice and kill something because it did 35 damage instead of 25 damage because you added critical multiplier to it. I think it also makes the RPGs that cool creation and that cool customization of like characters, like really getting in depth of the story of the character and building them out the way you want to see them. That customization, I guess.
That is fun. I do like that. And there's a lot of different ways to play it. Like, you know, I want to be the big hulking evil dumb guy who just doesn't care, just wants to kill everything, or I want to be the deaf talking Robin Hood type, good with guns or something like that.
Pretty neat. I think that's where I was going with my last point was like Fallout 4 is very RPG. It's very RPG oriented, and all the games like Skyrim and, you know, they're very, you know, a lot of people, oh no, it's an action game. I'm like, yeah, it's an action game. Like people, no, it's action. Like I've spoken to a lot of people, like, no, that's a great action game. I'm like, dude, it's an RPG. I mean, it's an RPG. You're playing a character that got, you're building a character from zero to hero, or zero to asshole. However you're building and however you're playing, and you're going from nobody to somebody. And you are, at the end of the day, there's dice being rolled like in Dungeons and Dragons, and you're taking that was once a paper character, now to a digital character. I'm gonna be a short dude with a sword and a shield that can wield a bow and a side and cast healing magic. So it's just, I think that all that encompassing makes an RPG where it outlies like your action games, where there's none of that in there. You're just going around and you just, you know, you're slashing things and punching things in the face, and there's no element of growing or getting better. There's no progression, I guess. You're progressing the levels, but you're not like getting attached to that character. You're just going through the motions, slashing your swords and whatever else, or whatever you're using to kill the enemies. In my opinion, that's what the difference between an RPG and a regular action game.
Yeah, I guess it's the idea of progress, I guess, is what's really the big driver for that, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, it is weird, though. Like, you know what I've noticed? So, you know how a lot of people think Fallout's an action game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can see why, because it's very smooth, very streamlined. I think that has a lot to do with how they got so popular. Like, to me, although it probably started with Morrowind, but to me, they got popular in America more and more. At least the main drivers of RPGs were American sales or games, since like Morrowind, or to me again, for Knights of the Old Republic when I first saw that game.
Knights of the Old Republic, yeah.
Yeah, it looked and felt very different than the traditional JRPGs I was used to up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I could see why they think it's an action game, and that's probably the secret to their success, because it feels so seamless. You're right. I mean, yeah,
it does. Like, if you go back and play Morrowind, it feels very clunky, very RPG-ish, but it was such a great game. Whereas Skyrim really took all that, put it in, and it's like, oh, hey, here's an action game that
crazy.
You know, you do everything. You can do everything you did in Morrowind, and now you're playing like I can't even think of a game that's even like that. Because Skyrim was just like its own beast.
Oblivion is probably a good intermediary between the two.
It is, and that's why I like ESO, because it's like built on the Oblivion engine. It takes some stuff from Skyrim, but it's really its own beast. And everyone, and when that game released, everyone was so like, I was expecting Skyrim, and that's where the expectation failed.
Ugh. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of old school RPG fans get kind of pissy, like, "Oh, I hate Fallout 4. It's not RPG." And I don't know. I mean, I have fun with it, and I like it. I mean, okay, I see your point. Maybe you wanted something a little more turn-based and slower, like the first Fallouts, and even Fallout 3 had a lot more slower, you know, even keel combat. But I don't mind it, because as long as it's good, I really don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
I don't know. To me, like I said, it just comes down to, I think, assuming a role of someone or experiencing that progress, I guess, or to some people, again, the strategery, the strategy of it, or apparently to some, the concept of, I guess, playing an action game but feeling like you're a character. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's many different opinions maybe what makes an RPG from people, but I feel I'm going to sum it up to being you're in the character's shoes, going through their story, seeing the thing life of the game through their eyes. You have empathy for the character, and you're learning about all their friends dying, and you make those connections, and there's that full like role-playing feel to it. Like, I am this person. For the 6 hours or however long I'm playing, 6 hours is probably like a good RPG time frame, because you really can't get much done in an hour in an RPG. You're sitting down and you're really it's like, to me, RPG is a good book. You pick up a good book to read, because that story is what you're going after.
That's a good analysis. Yeah.
So that's how I summed it up. So the next topic I have for this is now I feel like they have come so far. Like, they've come so far from like the days of like, let's roll pen and paper and get made fun of in school, like, ha ha ha, you play Dungeons and Dragons, you nerd. To being like the forefront of like the modern gaming era of like, let's put the big one up there of like the MMORPG that just rules them all right now, World of Warcraft. Yeah, it's huge. Like, what has become the fascination of them? Like, why are more people turning into them? You see more and more people like, oh, I'm going to play this now. I'm going to move away from COD and I'm going to go play Skyrim. I used to be such a COD player, but now I'm a Skyrim player. Like, such a huge shift. What's becoming the fascination behind them?
I know. I mean, what would you think about when COD? Okay, if you look at COD, and I know you know these very well. The first ones, when the first one came out, I think it was what? Medal of Honor people basically defected me at Infinity Ward, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and like when the first one came out, yeah, it was just fan-fucking-tastic. It was and really I mean, good. Yeah, definitely. I can't speak for other ones, but I mean, the nice thing about, you know, Skyrim is that it has a lot of that fluid feel, you know, where it really kind of wraps you up in there. Like, case in point, although your main character doesn't really speak or anything, there's a lot of persistent shit going on around you. You can take sides and factions. You can change sides of war. You can make progress against the dragon, shit like that. I think it really does, with respect to what you said, if it kind of feels like a story you're involved in, it really does feel like you're in the middle of a story or a movie of some sort. And I think Skyrim emphasizes that because you have so much control because it's an action game that serves as a veneer to, like, you know, a strategy game as an RPG underneath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I think, yeah, that makes sense. I think also the biggest fascination now lately is, for me, when I play RPG, is the customization. Like, I want to sit down and I want to get lost in customizing a character. Not even just from the start of, like, the character creation screen, wherever RPG it might be. I want to just get lost in the system of the game. Like,
that's fun.
Like, I guess Warframe would be a good example of the system of the game, the modding system, where I can just go in and this plethora of just different mods I can choose from and different builds I can make to go in and go own faces of the PvE world. Like, that to me is the biggest fascination about them, because it's constantly evolving. Like, oh, you know what? What was good yesterday is not good today. And just that meta, and keeping up with the meta, and keeping up with the, oh god, with all the different builds. And then, I don't know, for me again, also is a story. Like, I want to sit down, I don't want to just go run and gun. I want to invest myself in a story. I want value out of the $60 I'm spending. If I'm not getting value, the game's not worth it to me.
What was the first MMO with that mod? Was it, I feel like it was WoW, wasn't it?
What?
World of Warcraft, were you able to mod your UI? That's what you meant, right?
No, I'm modding, in Warframe, you have something called mods, which are, like, think of it as, like, Diablo 2. You have, like, different talents you can choose from. This is pretty much the same thing, but you add them to your Warframe, you add them to your weapon, you add them to your freaking pets, you add them to your whatever, and there's trillions of them you can choose from. And the different way you build, the different things you do, like, you can make, like, a mass AoE build. That just seriously destroys everything across the map. It's just like from one end to the map, your AoE just destroys. It's crazy.
I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, like that's to me, like I'm looking at it, I see more and more people that used to be, I'm only a first person shooter player, and now started slowly getting, like, more and more getting into RPGs. And I'm just trying to figure out what's the fascination behind them. Like, what has gotten people so crazy about RPGs?
Yeah, again, I really stick with not only, you know, what I said with how Skyrim's so seamless, but again, I mean, they just turn more and more into, like, a very blurred action experiences, which I think is a good thing. A lot of people hate that. I like it. And again, although it existed with Morrowind, I really did first see it with, like, Knights of the Old Republic, and then I played Jade Empire, like, wow, this could be an RPG? That's pretty cool. Jade
Empire was amazing. So many people crap on that game, dude.
Why? It's really fun.
Because they do. Oh, God. I was talking to somebody, and they were like, that game was like testing grounds. It was such a choppy and stiff game. I'm like, yeah.
It was 2006.
I was like, it was. It was horribly choppy and stiff. But you didn't see, did you not pay attention to the story and the game mechanics? Exactly. Like, dude, the story game was mechanics. Cool. The story was great. The game mechanics were so much fun, dude. I'm doing kung fu and freaking shooting beams out of my hand. Like, come on. It was so cool.
I'm with you on that. You know, and the cool thing about it was Why? Oh, I'm out of fucking ammo. I'm sorry. I just ran out of plasma rifle ammo. I better switch to that. Anyway, nonetheless. So, yeah, you know, and it was really, I don't know. I love that. I love the fact that, you know, you could be, what was it, open palm or closed fist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I played through it twice, and I even did a third playthrough. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I explored both sides. It was fun. I don't know. I really enjoyed that game, and it really, I mean, I had 720p in my Sony Vega. It was a CRT. It was like really a totally new experience, you know? I loved it. I loved every experience of it, so.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. But there are a lot of people that do poop on it. I'm like, why are you pooping on it? It's such a great game. I was like, you need to go back and play it again because the story is what you're missing. The story was a lot of fun. Hell and it was such a different take on game mechanics, too. Like, you saw, I think around that time is when, like, Enter the Matrix came out. Which was all like kung fu and there was RPG elements to it and, you know, leveling up your different abilities.
I haven't played that.
Oh, it was just a fun game. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was nuts. Enter the Matrix. Like, it was all a fun game. I really enjoyed it. It was a really good third-person shooter. But it was around the same time and I'm looking back at it. I was like, you know what? I look back at it. Enter the Matrix wasn't that fluid either. Like, and I thought Jade Empire, from a value of the game, there were so many side quests, there were so many different different ways to play. Like, Enter the Matrix was very linear. Like, you went from point A to point B to point C to point D. Like, you, there was a whole story, but it didn't give you much out of it. Like, you look at Jade Empire and it's this huge, vast open world. I mean, I'm comparing two different types of genres, but there were some RPG elements to Enter the Matrix. So I'm just like, you know, and people just crapped on Jade Empire, and I just couldn't figure out why, because it was such a great, great game.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I really did.
It was a lot of fun. Oh my god, it was so much fun. So I guess that like brings me into RPG types. So RPG types, we got a turn-based, looking back at like Final Fantasies, like Final Fantasy 1 through 10, I'll say. Even 10 was kind of turn-based. It was turn-based, I guess, right, 10?
It was.
And then you have your strategy type, like tactics.
I love those. Those are my favorite. Those are fun.
Yeah. You have your action, which this new God of War has lots of RPG elements to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, lots of RPG elements to it. Your FPS, like Deus Ex. I love the Deus Ex.
That's right. Deus Ex. System Shock, yeah.
Oh my god, you remember System Shock?
Oh, great fucking game.
How many out there have actually played System Shock? I never played the first one, but have played System Shock 2.
I love it. I love the first one. I love the second one. I'm one of the few. I think I like the first one more, but they're both really good.
No, both were good. I was reading somewhere they're rebooting the second one or remastering the second one.
Oh, that's been having problems. They tried to overexpand and then they went on a hiatus, but yeah, they're back at it now.
Oh, nice. Good. Because yeah, so. It was just the second. That I picked up once I played Chrono Trigger. That was it. RPGs had me hooked, and
cool.
And that I remember finding that, you know, through very 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 many different means of getting games back in the day when you were a teenager and didn't have money. So because your internet was such, you know, internet was so new and there weren't all these crazy things going on of like, no, you can't download that, you can't do this, and it was just like, hey, I'm gonna download this and do that, and who's gonna tell me no?
I know, it was really something at the time.
Yeah. But those FPS RPG games add such a crazy spin to an RPG and then a spin to an FPS and combines both elements where if you look at Borderlands 2, great story, fun game mechanics, talent trees, and every piece of damage, like you just can't headshot a guy and they die. Like, each person has a freaking health pool. Like, that blew my mind. When I sat down and played Deus Ex for the very first one, and, you know, Chrono Trigger, everyone has a health pool and mana pool, and I sat down and I have energy and health. I'm like, what is that? And then the person I'm fighting has the same thing. I'm like, they have a health pool? This is a first-person shooter. This makes no sense. And, oh my gosh. And that game was way beyond its time when they released that.
It's funny too because, you know, Iron Storm, I think that was their Australian Iron division.
Yeah.
You had fucking John Romero, fuckface. Well, I don't hate him, but it's like he made way too many promises. He bombed in Daikatana, no matter how much he tried to partner with M Player to push it out. And I mean, it's amazing. Then they basically were the saving grace of all of Iron Storm, and it was like they thought it was gonna fail. I read it was like to the wire, like they were crunched for months straight. There was delay, and they were shitting themselves. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna buy this game. I think this is gonna be a failure. Then it's game of the year.
That's crazy. Yeah,
that's some story. And you know, I'm starting to realize here a lot of RPGs can really be I suppose, for lack of a better word, disguised as many different game types, whether it's an FPS, an action game, what have you. And it's been going on for a while, and those do seem to be really successful. Like Diablo is like an action RPG.
Yeah, like action RPG, right? They do really, really good, which is kind of like Warframe is, like the action RPG. Warframe was when they reinvented like the whole like movement and combat. Oh my god! Well, mainly the movement system, and they added in the I don't know, the I can't think of the name of it, like the parkour system, parkour 2.0, as I want to call it. And now you can just like do these crazy like bullet jumps and the slides and, you know, grapple off the walls and flips, and it's just the movement is some of the most fluid movement I've ever seen in a game. And now couple that with like every enemy has a health pool, enemy has different abilities, you have different abilities. It became like one of the best action RPG, free to play action RPGs out there. Everything they give you is free, which is why that game does so well, because it's like, oh, by the way, you want that? Free. Oh, you want that too? Free. Oh, yeah, that's free. And the only thing is like they really make you buy is Warframe slots and weapon slots. So if you want to have like 55 freaking Warframes, you got to spend 20 platinum, which is, you know, which is you buy it with real currency to get the platinum, and you buy the Warframe slots, and that's it. Everything else in the game is grindable. You can grind everything in the game, which is crazy.
That's awesome. I gotta get that. I haven't installed.
That's such a good game. We play it a lot on my stream, Mondays and Fridays. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun to jump into. So then we have the king, but they're huge. And it's kind of a dying breed, I think, too. Like, you see a lot of games come out like this and they don't do well. Because they try to clone another one that, you know, they don't need to be cloning. They really need to stand out and not clone things. Is the MMO RPG, the massively multiplayer online role-playing game. And my first one I ever played was Ultima Online. I don't know what the hell I was doing in that game. All I knew is that you could, like, I remember I walked into someone's house. It was a player-owned house. You could walk in there and steal shit. And I walked in, I walked out, and I got killed. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, that's my house. Don't go in it, bitch. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was, oh, man. I never played that. My friends were always into it. It always intrigued me, like, wow, you could do that?
Yeah, it was such a good game. That was beyond its time, too. And then my buddies in school were like, no, stop playing that freaking archaic Ultima Online crap. Come play EverQuest. And there went my teenagehood. I was like, what's a girl? I don't know what that is.
Hours suck. You ain't kidding.
Yeah. You know, man, I was like, I don't know what a girlfriend is. I have EverQuest. I'm engaged to EverQuest. I'm freaking 14 years old. I was like, I gave EverQuest my life. We have a commitment. You know, we understand each other. It's okay. It's my lifeblood. But it was such a, for that time, for like, what was that, the early 90s, for, you know, internet still kind of new, and there's this huge game online as connecting thousands of players into these different servers.
God.
And there was a story. I didn't really follow the story in EverQuest. I was too busy grinding.
It was a little convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah. Like most MMOs are. I mean, I haven't actually sat down and played a good MMO. Maybe besides like Warframe, if you want to consider it an MMORPG. I consider it more of an MMO. I guess it is MMORPG because it has an RPG aspect, but I don't know. It's debatable.
Have you played Conan Exiles, actually?
I have not, but that's more of like a survival game, but it has RPG elements to it.
Yeah, it's funny because someone referred to it as an MMORPG, and I mean, I don't think it is. It's very easy to blur the lines because I could see why they would say that.
See, I think, and this is why I don't say that's why I don't say Warframe is MMORPG, because Warframe has hubs, and It's not World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft, everything is wide open. You go from point A, you can just go everywhere. And everyone's in the same area. There's no, you know, different zones. There's no going back to a ship and, you know, a hub there and being siloed from everyone. you're constantly connected to everyone. While there's a chat, sure, there's a chat, just like Diablo 3 is a chat. Diablo 3 is not an MMORPG, though.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying. Like,
it's not. It's connected, but it's not.
Yeah, like the world is shared, basically. Yeah, is what you're saying.
And MMORPG is like, it's just everything's there. Like, you walk into EverQuest, you logged in, there was 25 people around you, and you can start interacting with anyone.
That was kind of cool, actually.
For back in the day, it was. Now, you know, Warframe, Diablo, whatever type of game that is, it's RPG. It's RPG based, but I wouldn't call it MMORPG. I would definitely call it more of an MMO, because you're logging into the game, or I would put it underneath the action. I would put it underneath the online action RPG game, because you're not jumping in, logging into 15, 30, 100 people all in one zone that you can interact with instantly.
Remember the bazaar in EverQuest in the caves? God.
I couldn't,
like, every day.
I couldn't. My PC couldn't handle.
Oh, yeah.
The bazaar. I had to, like, run up against a wall.
I remember that.
I was like, guys, can we, like, some of you please log off?
you just made me remember. This is what's kind of interesting. This nostalgia factor. You just made me remember something. I never told anyone the story because it's such a random occurrence. But I was playing not at the bazaar, but near it. It was Western Commons. What's the zone after Western Commons? You know, with the Sand Giants. So anyway, whatever. It was that zone, right? And I was leveling up in there, and all of a sudden, I hear my dad opens the window and yells, "We got you on camera, you sons of bitches!" Someone was trying to steal our Crispus ornament. That's what I remember, because I was playing EverQuest at the time when that happened. I don't know. It just popped in my head.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's fun. That's awesome, dude. It's a great story. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, no, EverQuest has made me miss tons of school. I remember I remember doing like a stint. I came home from school. I was so excited because I met more people in school that play EverQuest. I'm like, oh, wow, there's a lot of people here actually play. But you're all silent about it because you played EverQuest. You were a nerd. You got beat up for it. So everyone was quiet about playing EverQuest. No, if you were playing EverQuest, you talked about, like, on lunch in a little huddle, not near, like, all the jocks and everything, because you got picked on and bullied and whatever. So you didn't talk about it. But I remember finding, like, five people. I was like, oh my god, oh yeah, we're on this server. I'm like, I'm on that server too. So I remember getting home, and we were all the same level. So we went to whatever caves, and we were just grinding out. Right. Yeah, it was great. We were just grinding out levels, and we were in one place because it's just one boss that we were grinding out dropped some, I think, shield or something for one of my buddy who was a Shadow Knight that he wanted. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, yeah. We're gonna get it. He's almost up. I was the ranger group, so I just fired an arrow and took the death. So I was like, I pulled the guy and then die because that was my job. And then I smell. I'm like, what the hell is that smell?
Oh, no.
I open the door. I'm like, Mom, what are you burning? She's like, I'm not even cooking anything. And then it clicked instantly. I'm like, oh, no. So I ran back in. I'm like, my PC, I think my PSU is going to do. And my fucking whole computer shut down. I was like, weak. No.
Weak.
And from there, that was the end of PC gaming for me, because I was working a crap job making, like, maybe $5, $6 an hour, whatever minimum wage was, crap.
God damn.
And I, you know, mom was playing EverQuest for me, you know, because, you know, teens and their mom's credit cards. Yay. it went from EverQuest to Fortnite now. So I'm like, damn. And, you know, I had a PlayStation 1, but I wasn't really playing it. You know, PC was everything. So PS2. Xbox One, and that was it. I was done with freaking PC gaming for a while.
Expensive back then.
Yeah, because I learned, because I, well, my dad worked in a computer company. He was able to get, like, another PSU for me. So I got it, installed it, but not only did the PSU die, it took out my motherboard.
I was like,
I'm done. I was so angry. So I didn't get a new computer until I went to college, where they actually offered you, you know, they provided you a computer. It was a pretty damn beefy computer. So that became my new gaming computer. It was supposed to be for schoolwork. I was like, I'm studying how to press a button and make my guy do an attack. I was like, I'm studying these caves right now for 6 hours because there's a cool drop that happens here. And I'm kind of going to calculate the RNG, like, percentage of it.
Yeah, undergrad and all that shit, dude. I spent way too much time fucking gaming.
Yeah.
Masters I took seriously, but, you know, that's another story.
But I love the MMO. I think the MMORPG genre, dude, it's such a... It's a dying breed, I feel, though. I just feel like it's a dying breed. Like, World of Warcraft, I think, is keeping it going. There's always tons of other games behind it that are coming out, but it has never seemed to grab the traction that Blizzard gave with WoW. I don't know why. And I think like some of it, like I look back at Rift. I think Rift would have been had such a niche type of what I loved about Final Fantasy V was taking the different jobs and mixing them together. And making like a warrior with white magic, a warrior with just mixing different things together and, you know, experimenting.
That's cool.
Doing different things. Like Final Fantasy XI, taking any type of class and leveling together. That was so much fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Now, Rift did the same thing. Yeah, there were better builds than others. And if you're going to play end game, you had to play the cookie cutter build. But if you're just futzing around, leveling and doing whatever, who cares? Try shit out. See what happens. See what works best for you. If you're not going to do end game content, play the way you want. Rift had something so unique and so cool. The problem was they went direct for that WoW copy. Direct for it. And WoW was already... Like, WoW already did it. WoW is doing it. Why are you trying to do something that's already done? You need to do... If you're going to do that, you need to do it better. Because WoW's been around before you were, and they already have the market. And people jump to Rift like, oh, yeah, Rift's going to be awesome. It's going to be the WoW killer. And I'm going to put this out right now. The only thing that's ever going to kill World of Warcraft is going to be Blizzard itself. There's not going to be some... Right. Game out of the blue that's going to have instant success overnight. If that does, I'll eat my own toenails. Like, seriously, it's not going to happen. It's like Fortnite. There's nothing can kill Fortnite except for Epic Games right now. Unless someone comes out and does it 10 times better and has instant success overnight. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they dominated that market while it was popular, and even if they aren't now, it doesn't matter because... Everyone still recognizes them as the go-to game for that, I guess.
It's true. I mean, and even if you look even at Final Fantasy XIV as that's a great game. I love that game too. As an MMO, dude, that game had one of the worst launches history. Like I remember my buddy got the beta invite. He's like, I'm not gonna play. You want my invite? I was like, hell yeah, I want your invite because I love Final Fantasy XI, and so I got it. I logged into it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? And
then the GUI was bad.
Oh, so everything was bad. Everything from like start to like everything to start to me closing out the game was bad. I was like, this is just garbage. I never looked back at it. And then I started. This new guy, new producer. I forget his name. He's still there now. I can never pronounce his name. But he's there now.
I know what you mean.
He took it, took down and said, we're closing down Final Fantasy 1.0. And while we start building it, once it comes back online, it'll be free to play. I was like, what do you mean it's going to be free to play? Dude, they took that game from being a paid subscription to a free to play and built it all the way up to what we know it is today. And it was the smartest thing they probably ever did because they gave such a value in a free to play of letting people jump in and play the game. I mean, there was probably a select few people that were only playing at the time, but they started opening up like, oh, it's free to play. Come play, come play, come play, come check it out. Dude, they gave their product away. And then they had such a follower base, and people were like, "Well, we're gonna make it pay to play now." People were like, "Okay, you gave such a good product, let's do it."
Well, I didn't know they had it free to play at first.
Yeah, I had it free to play for a while, and I remember them making good pay to play. I'm like, I was like a naysayer. Oh, it's never gonna work. Why would you make it pay to play? You're doing it great. And dude, that game took off, and it did so good.
I did like it. Yeah, it was fun. I had to stop.
Yeah, it was so addicting, but. Yeah, MMO, I just feel a bit, it sucks because I really enjoy the MMO genre. The only reason why I love it because it's a great place to make friends online. The mechanics are always fun. The end game is a blast. But outside of WoW, I just feel like it's a dying breed. Unless a Bless can come in and do something. Unless Air can come in and do something. Like, just some of the new ones coming out. But I just don't see it happening. They have their own market, but nothing's going to topple WoW except for Blizzard itself. That's just my opinion, but it has shown for the last 13 years.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's crazy, and you know, MMOs have came and gone, and it was not limited to just MMOs. Like fucking Overwatch, really. Lawbreakers came out, and I thought it was really good, but it got stomped.
It did.
Yeah, holy shit.
I was like Paladins too. Like Paladins being developed before. What was it? Paladins being developed before Overwatch. And then Overwatch came in and just dominated the market. But then anything that Blizzard, and I'm not like a huge, like, oh my God, Blizzard fanboy, but yeah, usually anything that Blizzard releases is gold. And it just does well. Like, yeah, it just does good. And the reason why I think it does good is because Blizzard focuses their business on empathy. They listen to their customers. And people say, no, they don't. I'm like, they listen to their customers. They give a lot to their player base. A lot to their player base. And in World of Warcraft perfectly shows that. They really try to accommodate the end game players, and they really try to accommodate the casual players. And they always, and I feel, from being a long time WoW player, 10 years, they always find a middle ground for everyone. But not everyone's going to be happy. There's always an issue somewhere and no one's happy, yeah. But that's just the business aspect of it. But there's always, it's just for MMORPG to stay alive for 13 years.
That's staggering. Amazing.
I mean, EverQuest is still around, but
it's not really. I think you could still like have options to pay for it, but it's not really a money gal.
No, it's not. It's not like WoW where you need to pay for it. Like I just reactivated World of Warcraft because I'm like, I need to go back because I want to prepare for Battle for Azeroth. There are things I want to get done before, you know, it's up. Before BFA's here, and I'm stuck with my pants down. Don't have my warrior mount. Don't have my my druid mount. Don't have my warrior's mage tower skin. Like, there's things I want to do in the game. And I had to take a break because it's burnt out. Just raiding constantly. I'm like, I need to be done. Just for a little bit. Just, you know, take a step back and breathe. But anyway, that's the MMORPG genre. I think it's my favorite genre.
It can be very fun. I did download DAOC the other day, and I tried it. I loved it, but I just told myself I don't want to commit to this because I know what's going to happen next.
Wait, which one? Dark Ages of Camelot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a good game back in the day, too. That was, if you were a PvP player and you love PvP and you liked like Unreal Tournament and all the other BS, or if you were into Lineage 2 and player killing, Dark Ages of Camelot was your game. Because it was just ridiculous. It was so good. Such a good game to just go in and just freak things up with like magic and swords. And we used to play with this one guy, and his name was Rabbits. And every time you killed somebody, you were killed by a rabbit. It was just great. It was just so stupid. Oh, no, bunnies. It was bunnies. You were killed by bunnies. That was great. Just stupid stuff like that. But
I did enjoy that game a lot.
Yeah, Dark Age was good. I didn't play it a lot because I was really stuck on EverQuest. Because I'm all about the story. I like to sit down with my kids and play a good RPG because I like to read them the story. I like to read to them. It's like a new age book. And my daughter can read. So she'll sit down. I like to play Sky of Trails, I think it's called. I can't remember the actual name of it. But it's one game. It's the Sky series or the Trail series, and I let my daughter read it, and she'll have a hard time with like some words, so I help her out. But it's fun. The Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky. Those are the games, which is a great RPG series. It goes back to like the 8-bit look, with like the I think it plays like turn based, I believe. I haven't played it in a long time, but I have like 40 hours in it. Last time I played it was 2015.
I don't think I've ever played that.
That's a really, really, really fun game.
Cool.
But like games like that, I let my daughter play, and we sit down, and she reads to me, and it's great because now my daughter's reading, and she gets to play a game, and it just brings the kids into, you know, my daughter's like, video games are dumb, they rot your brain. She's 7 when she says that. I was like, please, your mother plays video games. So I sit down with her and play an RPG game, and she likes to read. She absolutely loves to read, and I think, honestly, some of the reason why she loves to read is because she sits down with Dad, and we play a video game, and she reads to me. So, it's fun.
Yeah, but you can expand your vocabulary with some select RPGs, because there's
so many. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like definitely like the Dragon Age games, like they're you know, Like a lot of the characters speaking like a old English and whatnot. So it's very cool. But I think the last one that we have here is pen and paper. Like the old school, like
pen and paper.
1970s, 80s, freaking.
Those are my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. I never really played much pen and paper, but there is still a huge following for them. I have people at work to play them, and I have people in I have people in my guild, on my World of Warcraft guild that play them. You know, they're like, they go, oh yeah, I can't do this tonight because, I have D&D night. I'm like, oh, okay, have fun. And he's like a level whatever rogue, a level 12 rogue or whatever the hell it is. Oh, that was cool. I'm like, that's so awesome. I never played it. I never got that far into the game.
Yeah, it could be fun. It could be really fun. I used to DM a lot. And, you know, it's funny. I forget the where the hell I read it exactly, but I think there was like a... Shit. I think there was like a book out there saying why D&D is great for kids, and it's actually really educational in many ways. And I would agree. I mean, it's crazy because, aside from, you know, basic arithmetic and stuff like that, and the strategy involved, there's a lot of concepts at play, like graph theory, or like the idea. How the hell do I describe graph theory? It's basically like analyzing all potential moves and stuff like that, or, you know, where nodes can move from, you know, any certain position. Like how it works is, if you're playing a pen and paper D&D, you basically have like a X by X grid and or X by Y grid, whatever, and you can move around, you know, depending on your move set. Like you can move 5 feet is usually a one square in that grid.
Gotcha.
And yeah, stuff like that comes to play. Problem solving comes to play. A lot of people believe that's actually really a good proponent of education for kids.
Oh, so. It is. I mean, I look at the kids that played like pen and paper games, and some of them were like really, really smart kids. Like they were really good at math. I mean, because if you're sitting down doing D&D, you're adding, you're subtracting, health pool, mana pool, doing this, doing that. Like you're doing more than just playing a dumb game and rolling your dice. You're reading. Someone's writing a story, and then someone's reading that story, and then someone's doing freaking calculations on a piece of paper. You rolled a dice and took 20 damage, and you had 1,000 whatever health. Now I got minus, and it multiplied by, you know, 5. So now you're taking 100 damage. I got minus. It's just there was so much. Yes, I could see why kids could learn, you know, a lot from that. You know, subtraction, multiplication, division, reading, writing. It's actually very cool. It's an alternative way to learn.
Yeah, agreed. It's fun too. I really enjoyed it, man. I did. I don't play pen and paper anymore, but it's great. It's a really good experience, you know. It's fun.
It is fun. I wish I played it more as a kid, but I was too busy, you know, finding the next best game to play, I guess. And then I learned about girls. I was like, oh wait. And then I learned about EverQuest. I'm like, screw girls. Give me EverQuest. Yeah. So, if you had to pick, what's your favorite game of all time?
All time, though. I don't know. Let me think about that for a minute. You may want to go first.
Well, I said earlier in the show, Chrono Trigger is my absolute favorite game of all time. It was the most innovative RPG for its time. I didn't play it back when it was first released. I played it like a few years after, but looking at the graphics, the gameplay, the mechanics, the story, how each character had a story. Chrono has his own story. Lucia has his own story. Robo, Aaliyah, whatever her name, the dino chick was. Just a frog. A frog was one of my favorite stories.
That was a good one.
That was one of my favorites. And then Magus had an awesome story. And you could either tell Magus to F off, or actually come to the game with you, and it would actually change the way the game played. Like having Magus in your party, you want Magus in your party, put it that way, because it just changed the gameplay completely. Like he was an awesome character to have.
It's amazing that was so unique for the time.
It was so in depth. Like I was like, wow, I cannot believe it's the RPG. And I played Final Fantasy 3, I played Final Fantasy 5, or Final Fantasy 1, I played Final Fantasy 5. Like, I played them, and they were good. They were good games. But Chrono Trigger hit, and I was like, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, it was
like I played the Final Fantasy after I played Chrono Trigger. Like, oh, it's Final Fantasy. No, dude, Chrono Trigger, I'm sorry. Hands down, amazing. Has not even Final Fantasy VII, like, trumps it for me.
Yeah, those are good picks. Honestly, I'm not too sure off the top of my head. I can't decide. I mean, I gotta admit, I am a real sucker for Doom. That is a good game.
That was a good game. That was a great game growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, I always come back to play that one.
Yeah, I don't care how old it gets. It's just, it holds well.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's funny because games try to get, you know, so action tense, and it's like, well, you kind of went backwards because Doom was more fun and action intense. But okay, whatever. I guess I'll watch this cutscene.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, all right, I'll watch like 30 minutes of a cutscene that you filled up on a disc that you didn't need.
I know. You know, I really do like the Diablo series, actually, now that I come to think of it.
Which one?
I mean, the original Diablo, oh, and Diablo 2. Oh,
God, Diablo. The first one, you're just going through layers and layers of caves. That was fun.
Yeah, I have sunk a lot of hours in that game. I'm looking through my Steam list quick to see if there's something I'm missing. I may have to go with that one. Blizzard North was Blizzard North. And to go back to your point you made prior, they actually hired someone from the airplane industry because it's such a hard thing to have a very positive feedback rate. And this guy did it back then, and they hired him, and they made games that people liked. Like you said, they listened to their people, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure it's got to be Diablo and Diablo 2. I actually wanted a few, like Diablo 1 more, but I really like Diablo 2 as well.
Diablo 2 is a lot of fun. Diablo 2... Sork Frostbuild, oh my god, with like the right gear, please. Please, done.
That's awesome. That's so many cool variants. That's a very deep fucking game.
It was, yeah. and that's what Warframe's like. There were so many different variants of different builds you could have, and there was always the meta build, like there isn't any game that has a build, but there are so many different ways you could build and try and do things. That you play to your specification, but if you're gonna do end game stuff with like a group, you want to be spec'd the best way so you can give the best effort and the best chance to your group and not be a selfish player. Which I'm gonna dive into a little bit for 30 seconds here. If you're playing an MMORPG and you want to raid and you want to get into heroic like content, you gotta play what's gonna be crucial and beneficial to the team. Not to what you like and not what your comfort zone. The only way you make progress is by getting out of your comfort zone. And that's anything in game or life. You gotta get out of your comfort zone.
I agree with that. That's a great point. Oh, and you know what? I revised what I said. Well, I love the Diablos. I just realized, I can't believe this didn't hit me prior. I said earlier that I love turn-based strategic style.
Oh, you said that earlier. Yeah, you said like tactics for some of your favorites.
Yeah, and I love that one. I love Vagrant Story a lot, too.
Vagrant Story? Oh, my God. It was a great RPG.
It was. I think that's probably 3 and 2 for me, respectfully. The first one has got to be. I've got the CD, an actual legitimate American-bought CD of Shining Force 3 at my desk. I keep it at my desk.
Wow. That
is my favorite game. I can't believe I forgot that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's one that's hard to track down, too, because, you know, only the first of the three scenarios was released in America. But
yeah.
I played other ones because of a fan patch. That is hands down my favorite game. I don't know why I forgot about those three.
Wow. Oh, well, yeah. Shining Force. Damn. Yeah. They were good games.
Yeah.
I don't know how I played them. I know I played them. I don't know if it was emulator or if I knew someone that had them, but dude, crazy games. I never beat them. Like, there's a lot of games I never beat. I wish I beat. But, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah, they were really good games. Love them.
But, yeah. So, but yeah, I think I had fun talking about RPGs, man. I love RPGs. I could talk about RPGs all the time and just different types of genres of it and different type of combat systems with it. But I want to hear, because this is a community-focused podcast, I would like to hear what your favorite RPG is. I want to hear what your favorite genre is, what you think makes an RPG, why you're fascinated by them. And what do you think of playing from like a hero to a zero, from a zero to hero, or zero to a villain? Like, I want to hear about your thoughts on that, because it's such a deep topic, and I would love more discussion on it. It's a fun topic to talk about. It's gaming, and gaming is just fun to talk about. So we're gonna be recording these every Wednesday night. They should go up by Thursday morning, I hope. To iTunes, Anchor, Pocket Cast, I think Spotify, Stitcher. I'm fighting with Google because Google's a pain in the butt to get to work. We'll be there. So leave reviews. Actually, I do have a review I have to read from like the very first podcast I ever put out, and I am so sorry. I never ever read it, so I want to read that really, really, really quick because I keep forgetting to check iTunes. So I actually have iTunes like running now, so I can read your reviews because. Log in here. Oh wow, didn't like that. There we go. All right, whatever. Podcast. Oops. All right, let's search for my podcast because it won't let me log into my account. I guess I changed my password at one point. Who knows what I did? In library store. Oh, here it goes.
Episode
4.
Whoa! We are.
Guys, what I'm doing, I'm sorry.
You don't. I definitely don't. Just don't feel bad.
I want to leave a review that they left, and I just.
You're still recording, right?
Yeah, I'm still recording. It's just not letting me.
Sorry.
No, you're fine, dude. You're fine. It's not letting me find the one that I want because I had a. Here we go. Found it. Ratings and reviews. Here we go. From Dr. Congo. It was very first one back on April 17th. I'm very sorry, Dr. Congo, for just getting to this now. I've been playing Warframe for a good while now. I've always been looking for new podcasts. I listen to all the Deadstream, all the Second Stream podcasts. So excited to hear fan-made community podcasts. I'll be listening in here from here on out. Dr. Congo, I appreciate the review. You're awesome. Thank you for reading it. I kind of went off of the whole Warframe podcast. It's still going to be a focus on it to talk about it. But I feel like putting all content into one egg can be very risky, just in case a game blows up in your face. So I wanted to make sure, because if that game flops, which we've seen a few times happen. Not that saying Warframe is going to flop, but it can happen. I want to be able to keep content relevant. So we are going to talk about it. There's going to be definitely discussions about Warframe. I'm preparing a podcast with a few guests to talk about Warframe in depth about different topics regarding builds and where to farm things. So stay tuned for that. It's probably going to come in the next week or two, probably 2 weeks, as I get the group together to talk about builds and whatnot in Warframe, because I think that'll be a very good, beneficial podcast to the community, because there's lots of YouTube videos. YouTube is great, but it's not great if you're driving, and voice is becoming a huge phenomenon, and we're going to take advantage of that. So, but keep tuned to that, Dr. Congo. If you're still listening, thank you again for that. Your awesome review. I really appreciate it. Thank you. If you want to send feedback into the show, you can hit me up at riven@moredots.tv. Send in feedback. You can be like, you know, you're so shocked. Stop it. Anything. Hey, I'll read it on the show. You send me pictures of yourself. Send me selfies. I'll say thank you and talk about it on the show. But I think it'll be cool. Just keep it community focused and keep it rolling with the actual community. I want you guys involved as much as possible because the show's about you. I want to get I'm probably going to have a streamer on next week. I'm going to see who wants to actually just jump on a stream. I want to promote their content. I'm trying to do many different things with this podcast. There's probably just many different avenues we're going. Talking about different games, different... Warframe builds and streamer spotlights and many different things. I think there's a lot we can do with this podcast instead of focusing on one area. But I think we can get on out of here, Mike. I think that's it. That was a good show.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for bringing me on. Appreciate it.
It's fun. Thanks for coming, dude. We'll definitely have you on again. It was good stuff. Well, next time we'll have you on. You talk about like programming, because I think that'd be a cool topic.
Sounds cool. Okay.
So, but all right, dudes, we're gonna get on out of here. I'm gonna go ahead and end the recording. Everyone have an awesome night. I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye, guys. Bye.
Peace.
Bye. Say no, you gotta say bye to nice people. Say bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye, nice people.